This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is the Valiant Central Podcast, episode 125, Paul, 125. Getting on up, moving on up. I'm Martin.
Yeah.
He's Paul. We're back. We didn't record last week, but I did put out the panels. So that was nice.
Didn't record, but we put out two episodes. Take that, VCR.
Oh, man. I was going to put three out, but I didn't have time. So Paul and I have decided that after this discussion, we're going to play The State of Valiant 2017. It's my interview with Dinesh, CEO of Valiant. He was kind enough to take out about 30 minutes of his time at C2E2 to talk to me. And Ronnie was there. I think Ronnie asked a question or two. So Ronnie is guest starring in this episode towards the end. But we're going to chat about something else first. If you don't want to hear us chat, too bad. If you do, then you can fast forward 30 minutes. How about that?
Yeah.
I do want to announce the giveaway. I know I announced it at the Valiant Central Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Valiant Central. I think that's right. If not, find it. Just search it. There's a search box. So at C2E2, they gave away 75 X-Men of War number 1 cover flats, which the flats are, they're kind of like proofs for the cover. These are very limited. Like I said, 75 were made. I have one. Normally I would keep things like that, but I want to give it away. I also have a signed print of Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe signed by Jason David Frank. So that's cool too. I'm going to give both of those things away. Maybe some other things. But we've been teasing about this. You need to go to iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, whatever you use to listen to this podcast. I'm going to check all the reviews. And I want to hit a minute. I want to see a minimum of 50. If I can get to 50, then I'll start giving stuff away. You don't get the 50, I'm going to keep it. And I'm going to rub it in your faces that I have it. Not really. The Exo Flat's going for like $200 on eBay, so this is a very nice prize for anyone that wants it. And all you gotta do is write a review on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, whatever. Don't care. Just do it. You ready to dive into our topic, Paul?
I'm busy leaving reviews right now. Give me just a minute.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you wanted to. If you wanted to, you could technically write multiple reviews. That would technically increase your chances because this will be a totally random drawing. So there's also that. Now, I'm not going to stop you from writing multiples because if you write multiples, they're still counted as multiple people. And that gives us the additional exposure and it gives you more time, more entries into this this weird contest thing that I'm doing. Well, I don't know why I'm giving this away, Paul. I should sell it.
Yeah, $200. It's $200.
Right? All right. We have a couple topics that we want to discuss real quick. The first, I saw a post, Paul, on the Valiant Fans Comics group on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Valiant Comics Fan Group. That's the big group. There's, God, I don't know, almost 3,000 people in. Oh, look at that. They're over 3,000 now.
Yep.
There was a post on there about the types of creators that Valiant has in their stable. Now, we've talked about creators before, Paul, in particular when Valiant was kind of cementing the people that they had. So, like, Venditti was doing Exo and Daiso was doing Harbinger. Now, some of the people have left, but we have a new core group. So, Matt's still there, Matt Kent. Jeff's doing his Bloodshot thing. Oh, Matt's doing everything, by the way. Jeff's doing the Bloodshot thing. Jody Hauser's doing the Faith thing. Rafer's doing the Harbinger thing, and so on and so on. B. Clay Moore doing Savage. So it's exciting. But this post, I don't want to say How would you put this, Paul? Because I don't want to say he was complaining. He wasn't complaining per se. But it seems like he wanted maybe some bigger name artists and writers to come on board, Valiant.
That was the thing with this post, and you know, of course, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But the thing is when you're just kind of dumping what's in your mind on social media, it's your opinion, but people are going to debate it. And when you haven't put a lot of thought into it, and you're just kind of you know, laying it out there without having like a more developed thought, what's usually going to happen is it's going to go down a certain tangent because you only thought of one thought, and then, you know, it goes from there. So the first thought was just that they wished that Valiant would like basically have a name to wow us.
Correct.
Which I don't disagree with that. Like, it'd be really cool if they announced that, you know, Shadow Man was going to be written by, I'm trying to think of a good name because, you know, it wouldn't be fair to say a name like, you know, I don't know, Garth Ennis that is a superstar in comics.
Well, I mean, the one that I saw for Shadow Man was Snyder writing and Temple Smith doing the art. That'd be pretty big.
Yeah, Snyder's a huge name still. You know, it's when they announced Jeff Lemire, like, that was kind of like, wow, you know. I hadn't really read Jeff Lemire at that point, but I read him because of that, but I had been aware of his name, so it's kind of like, ooh, that's pretty cool, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think of somebody that's kind of that level of a name, that you know their name, but, you know, I mean, Jeff Lemire really made, even though he had done some big two work at that point, like, he'd made his name with his indie stuff.
Sure.
I'm trying to think of somebody else that's really kind of made their name with the indie stuff, even if they've done some big two work.
Well, like, look, Colin at Matt Bunn. Colin Bunn.
Yeah, Colin Bunn's probably a good one. He's done some probably bigger big two stuff, but he's kind of at the Colin Bunn's kind of at that point now where I think he's really making his name at the Marvel level. Mm-hmm. Like, he's writing one of the new X-Men books.
Yes.
Whereas, like, Matt Kent, you look at the stuff he did for Marvel and DC, and it's all, like, B stuff at best. Like, he didn't do anything big, you know? Sure. All of his big stuff was indie stuff. But anyway, so it kind of started off with that. But then it basically turned into, you know, why don't they hire somebody who has already, like, had a track record of making comics instead of hiring somebody who's a screenwriter that's never written a comic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was like, what are you talking about? I mean, first of all, look at the people that they've hired. B. Clay Moore has done all sorts of stuff. Hawaiian Dick is probably the biggest body of work that he has right now, right? Before Valiant.
Yes.
But he's done some other stuff. I have a trade that Ronnie sent me of something that I haven't read it yet, but looking forward to it. Christos Gage is going to be writing Ninja K.
Yep.
Not only has Christos Gage written for Valiant before, he's written a lot of stuff. A lot of big stuff. So, I mean, he's a decent-sized name. He's not somebody who's made a superstar name, but when you look at the stuff that he's done, like, he's a known guy.
Well, he's been doing a lot of TV lately, too. So.
Yeah. So, and then that's the other thing. So you want to say, like, well, don't go get a screenwriter? Christos Gage is a screenwriter. What is screenwriting? You're writing a story for a visual medium. Look at what's the freaking Buffy guy?
Oh, Joss Whedon?
Joss Whedon. He wrote one of the best runs on the X-Men I've ever read.
Yeah, it's
Astonishing
great.
X-Men.
Yep.
It was fantastic. I mean, he may have written some comics before that. I don't know, but and I know he's written some Angel comics. He's written some Firefly comics. He's written stuff now, but he's known for being a screenwriter, not for being a comic guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was some fantastic X-Men right there, you know?
Yep.
So, I don't know. I mean, you look at the overall picture and, you know, people, I think when people get down like that, like, I wish instead of Eric Haser, they got this other person that I want. You're basically just saying, I wish they did things the way I want them to do it.
Yeah.
When you break it down to that point. And that's the problem with just throwing your thoughts out there without developing the thoughts, is when people start picking it apart, like, that's what's going to kind of end up happening, is, you know, you're going to sound pretty nitpicky on it.
And hopefully we're going to get to talk to Eric, by the way. He was only available for interviews Friday. at C2E2, and I've just been so busy, I sent my request in a little too late, and I only had time on Saturday, so that didn't work out, but we'll still have him on. But I mean, did you read the Secret Weapons number one?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah,
too.
It's really good, really good. Yeah, I don't get the screenwriter thing. I mean, yeah, it's a different medium, but it's the same type of story.
Yeah, you're writing a shorter length story for a visual medium. They're two different mediums, but there's still enough similarities, and there's proven, cross success between screenwriting and comic book writers. Mm-hmm. You haven't read it, it's like I wish it wasn't Eric Haser, I wish it was somebody else. I mean, it's a different argument, but it's just like when certain people were, I don't like Rafer Roberts writing Harbinger because I want it to be Josh Dysart. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter who you want it to be, because you're not running Valiant, so you either like Rafer Roberts writing it because you like the story, or you don't. And that's okay.
Sure.
Either way, if you don't like Secret Weapons, you don't like Eric Haser's writing, that's fine. But especially when it's not even out and you haven't read it yet, to just say I wish it was somebody else is kind of silly. To cross over to another argument I saw on Facebook that was irritating me is somebody did not like what EXO was before it even came out. The first issue wasn't even out, and they just hated everything about it. But you haven't even read it yet.
Yeah.
And now there's two issues out, and they still don't like it. It's fine for them not to like it. Whatever. That's no problem. You don't like it, you don't like it. But it's the arguments of... So right now we know that EXO is not on Earth. He's not with his wife, Sana. Mm-hmm. He isn't friends with the armor, and he doesn't want to fight in a war. But this person took all that as he just decided to leave his wife, decided to leave Earth, decided to ditch the armor, and just doesn't like war anymore. He said the next thing is that he's going to be a hippie. That's ridiculous. You're taking certain facts. Like, those are facts. He's not on Earth. Sana is not there. He isn't wearing the armor by choice. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to fight in a war. But then you're taking that and you're deciding all the reasons why those things happen when they haven't been unveiled to you.
Right.
So you're choosing to basically read the story like an asshole and just say everything's wrong in the story when you don't even know yet. You haven't gotten to any of the reveals on that stuff yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's okay, you have some scraps of fact, but why are you going to be judgmental of something when you're just, you're wrong. Like, at this point, you're just wrong. You don't know any of this stuff. You're just flat out making stuff up and saying that it's what's what. It's just like people saying, well, Matt Kent's writing everything. How many books is Matt Kent writing right this month for Valiant?
EXO.
One book. Not everything. Not even three books. There have been times where he's done different projects that did bump ends to each other, and I think there have been months here and there where he actually has had three books come out.
Sure.
But it was random months here and there. If you look at what Matt Kent does, like, he's had – the only thing he's had that's been a long run has been Ninjak. Rye has – you could look at it as a – even though it's been continuous numbering, you could look at it as a series of short – well, it is a series of arcs, basically, that's been released just with continuous numbering, mm-hmm. just like Divinity was. So Divinity was a series of miniseries, basically. It was three miniseries in a row. That's basically what Rye was, too.
Right.
So if you look at what Kent has done at Valiant, he's done a variety of projects, and it's not like he's writing three or four ongoing books all at the same time where he's writing almost everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The series come and go. They ebb and flow. He's not doing them all at the same time. So, it's the same thing. No, Kent's writing everything. That's ridiculous. Why is Kent writing everything? Kent's not writing everything. And if you say that Kent's writing everything, it's because you're not paying attention. You want to whine about it without having any basis for it.
Not only that, even if you were writing everything, who cares?
Yeah, and some people don't like Kent, That's fine.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, if you're not a fan of Kint's writing, that's fine. But you know, he's clearly not going away, so either learn to appreciate his writing or just read the other books or go away. I mean, he's not just going to disappear because you don't want him writing a Valiant.
Right.
You know, if Bendis suddenly started writing for Valiant, I'd probably be like, come on, you know, but but honestly, if Bendis started writing for Valiant, they would probably have a shitload more titles coming out than they do right now because they would hit the big time.
Dude.
Or he'd be like on Skid Row.
So, I was gonna say, you know how much money you'd have to pay Bendis to do anything outside of Marvel? He's a lifer over there. He's not going anywhere. Aaron Bell and I were making the joke about John Romita Jr. As long as John Romita Jr. doesn't do a Valiant book, we're okay. And I know there's people that love him. I know, you know, Mike, for example, loves JRJR, and that's fine. I just think his art is terrible, and I just don't understand why he's so popular, you know? Anyways, yeah. You know, there's always going to be people that complain, Paul. Matter of fact, Dinesh and I talked about that in the interview that's coming up here in a couple minutes. The internet was made for people to complain about things, Paul.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't mind that. I mean, that's a fact of life. People are going to go online. They're going to complain about stuff. The part that I'm kind of done with is, okay, I'm going to come on here and complain, but then if you say anything about what I say, then I'm going to complain about either about you complaining or I'm going to complain about being attacked.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I don't know. If you're going on an online forum and sharing your thoughts, you are doing it to share thoughts with other people that are going to have opposing thoughts.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. I'm tired. I really get tired of that. I'm just saying what I think. Well, and I'm saying what I think. And what I think is that you're wrong. So either give me a reason why you're right or shut up.
Mm. Going back to this other thing, though, I wish there would have been different names used beyond to make his point a little stronger. Because he was talking about like Cy Spurrier, which I like, but have you heard of Cy Spurrier?
Yeah, he wrote Six Gun Gorilla.
Okay, but you have. But I'm saying, like, anybody that's listening, how many people do you think have heard of Cy Spurrier?
Well, and that's the thing is he. He started with saying a name, you know, I want to hear an announcement of a name that's going to wow me, and then turned it into, I wish they would just hire some obscure creator that needs a job, but that has been making comics. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. That's like, you know, my football team needs a quarterback, so does that mean they should go sign Jay Cutler? No. You know, I want them to go sign somebody who has not played in the NFL. You know, go get a rookie that's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Not just go get out. Oh, well, Jay Cutler needs a job, though. The Bears cut him. It doesn't matter. I don't want Jay Cutler. You know, I made the point that there may be hundreds of indie comic writers that are looking for a job. You know what? Probably if there's 200 indie comic writers that are looking for a job, 180 of them are probably pretty bad at their job. Like, the reason that a lot of indie writers are indie writers is because they aren't that good yet. They have mm-hmm. to... They have to get experience, and a lot of them never really become good.
Sure.
You know? And that's not anything being hypercritical or anything either. That's just how things are. Like, people, you know, it takes development, you know? It takes work, and not everybody is going to be good at something, no matter how much they want to be good. So I really don't get the argument that, well, I just wanted to be a hire out of this group of people.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, you know, back to a football analogy, my team hired a GM this year who has no front office experience, and he basically went and kicked ass in the draft. And I mean, I wasn't really expecting that, and pretty much nobody was. I mean, all the quotes I saw from, you know, like anonymous other GMs was that they expected him to suck, and he didn't. The first thing he did was basically stole the Bears GM's lunch money. You don't know what people are gonna do just because they haven't done that specific thing. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, Paul. I mean, I think Valiant's done a pretty good job at developing some good talent. I mean, before Valiant, like, nobody knew Rafer. I mean, there were a select few of us that had read his stuff before, but the majority, nobody have heard of him. And I know some people still don't like him, but whatever, you know?
I mean, he had a small body of work, and, I mean, he was really mostly known for having a pretty kind of eccentric art style.
Sure. Venditti, he didn't do anything before Valiant. He did some Top Shelf stuff.
Same with I ain't gonna lie. I'm not really a fan of the stuff Venditti did before Valiant. It's not bad, but I don't really care much for it. Like, if I just came across it and didn't know the name Venditti, I wouldn't care for it. I wouldn't read it. I wouldn't have remembered it because it didn't get me that way. I mean, The Surrogates got turned into a movie, which is pretty awesome that at that point in his career, he did something that got turned into a movie.
But the movie was no good.
Yeah, whatever. I never saw the movie. but the thing is Venditti, for me, made his name at Valiant. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, all that I love about Venditti is what he did at Valiant. And, I've checked out other stuff a little bit because of him making it at Valiant. But it's not like it's not like I said, oh, Venditti, he wrote this somewhat generic political, I don't know what the hell you call it. What do you call those types of books? Political is not even the right word, but anyways.
I don't know what you're trying to say, Paul.
The type of book, The Surrogates, and the other one that he wrote, they both had like a certain type of genre.
Yeah, the other one was a little more political. I can't remember the name of it. I really liked that one, by the way. I know you didn't like the art, but I think I like that one maybe better than The Surrogates.
Yeah. You know, in both cases, too, if I read it now, I might feel different about it. That's one thing I'm definitely finding is over time. I mean, there's stuff that you or other people have recommended to me, you know, a couple few years ago that I did not like then. I was not interested.
Yeah, now you're right.
Now I'm circling back around to it, and I've had enough different experiences, and I've learned different stuff that I've grown to really like or appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You know, that gets me off on another tangent to complain about how people complain about stuff. So, if you don't know a lot about comics, or if you're younger and haven't had a lot of experiences yet, or that type of thing, instead of just, you know, if you're in a group and people are talking about different things, instead of making it a point to voice, well, I don't like this, I don't like that, shut the fuck up and listen to what they're talking about. We were talking about artists, and somebody chimed in with they don't like Bill Sienkiewicz. Now, I didn't know who Sienkiewicz was until he started doing he did the art in the backup stories in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle universe that they just started doing.
Yep.
So the backup stories are written by Kevin Eastman, and Sienkiewicz is doing the art. I didn't know who he was before that. Didn't know his name at all. But when I heard his name, I looked him up. I found out about him. I know he's a legend in comics. I kind of looked at what he did. So I start to grow an appreciation for him. And then he did that cover for Savage, the variant cover, that is just awesome. Like, I love that cover. But, you know, I mean, a lot of his, especially going back to older comics, like, the art style in older comics isn't something that I'm going to be naturally drawn to because, they were way more limited in what they could do in a lot of ways.
Sure.
But as you learn more and see what they could do and what they did with it, you learn to appreciate that stuff more and more. Yeah, I've been reading Claremont X-Men with John Byrne doing the art. And before that, who was it? I want to say it was Dixon before John Byrne.
Sounds right. And I think Sienkiewicz did some covers for them, too.
I don't know if I'm to that point yet because I'm still... I just crossed into the 80s.
Yeah.
But so I've been reading a lot of that. But I've been coming across... I got an omnibus of the beginning of Spider-Man. Like, going back to the very beginning, the beginning of the run of Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. I got an omnibus. It's the volume 3 of the omnibus of the Fantastic Four. That's a lot of Kirby art. I've gotten a few other things like that. That is just these old comics that before I couldn't really read them. Like they were so hard to read. They're so dense. The pacing is so much slower than what we're used to nowadays, and the art is so much more limited. But now that I finally got to the right point in time where I could really dive into this older stuff, now it's like I am really psyched by this stuff. Like, I'm excited to go back and read this stuff and see Kirby's art and stuff like that. Obviously Kirby's a legend, you know, even without me, I've never read a Kirby comic at this point. I have a couple of things on my bookshelf that Kirby did all the art for, but I haven't read them yet. They're just, you know, I have them now to read. But he's a legend, so everybody knows he's a legend, but you know, it's easy to go back and look at that old art and just be dismissive of it. That goes with it with anything, you know. Lately, you know, there's been a few like very legendary artists passing away. Who's the one that did? I can never remember his name. He did Frankenstein. He illustrated Frankenstein. He was one of the creators of Swamp Thing.
Yeah, I
always forget his name. Yeah. I'll have to look it up for next time. But like, I went and checked out his art to get a good look at it, and just at a glance, like, oh, it's good, it's fine, you know. But then I saw something that somebody tweeted of something he did, and just commenting on how he uses negative space, and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's like if you don't know about stuff, and instead of taking the time to shut up and listen to what people are saying and to learn about it and understand why other people appreciate it, you're never going to develop more of an appreciation or a knowledge of stuff. And, you know, everybody will just basically get tired of having you in the conversation if all you ever do is say, oh, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen to what we're saying. You know, I mean, the reason we're having this conversation is because this person's good enough for us to talk about.
Right. It was Bernie Wrightson. I just looked it up.
Yeah, Bernie Wrightson. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. No, good points. And, you know, having a big name doesn't always translate to sales, right? I mean, even when Valiant's had some pretty popular writers or artists come on, it didn't always translate to sales. And, you know, we do that at the Aftershock podcast, and Aftershock always has big name writers or artists on a book, and their books don't sell a ton. It's very niche. You know what I'm saying? So you can't always count on a creator to really make a book. Will it help sometimes? Maybe. But really, it's just a matter of being in the right place at the right time, I think. I mean, look at Exo's come out of nowhere, really. It's not like a new book, right? Exo's been around for 5 years. By the way, happy 5th anniversary, Valiant. Anyways.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. Plus, you don't know the quality of work that are creators are going to put in. I was reading I think it was Faith number 10, and I noticed that Joe Eisma did the art, and a friend of ours, Aaron, loves Morning Glories. And Joe Eisma is the artist on that book, so I said, oh, Eisma does the art in this, and he just said, well, that's not going to make me read it, you know. I'm like, I wasn't trying to make him read it anyways. But then as I was reading, I was like, this is not top-notch Eisma. Like, it's not his best work, you know?
I think the Morning Glory stuff is much better. It's a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
I think part of it might be the colors, though. I think the colors are a little too computer-generated. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and just it's just a matter of fact that, you know, these people are earning a living, and if things are a little side project or something like that, it's not going to get as much attention. If they're not getting paid as much as they get paid elsewhere, it's not going to get as much attention.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not their creation, you know, like Morning Glories, that's Image, which means it's creator owned. So I assume that Eisma has a more vested interest in that. You know, it's clearly that's going to get more attention than, you know, doing a few issues of Faith or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Peter Milligan's a great example with Valiant, where he's done two things before Britannia that didn't really wow anybody. And now Britannia's catching on with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of it is the creator. Part of it is the, you know, are they resonating with the fans? And part of it is the push from the company, too.
Yep.
I mean, Valiant certainly was not pushing Eternal Warrior story that he did the way that they're pushing Britannia.
Correct.
Britannia 2 number 1, by the way, is so much better than the first arc of Britannia.
Yeah, way, way better. I totally agree. Totally agree.
I really liked the first arc of Britannia. I definitely want to reread it when I pick it up in trade, but I didn't dislike it. I liked it fine, but it didn't wow me. But this first issue of the second one is definitely, there's more wow to it.
Mm-hmm. I got a couple of quick hits that I want to go over, Paul. I don't know if you read it or bought it or even knew about it, but David Baron, colorist extraordinaire, he's got a new book out. It's not being put out by Valiant. It's an indie book put out by 451. It's called Stained, and it's actually really good. So I recommend people go buy it and support it.
Awesome. Yeah, I knew about it, but I haven't read it yet or anything.
Yeah, I got it today. I read it today. It's really good. The other thing was, if we were talking about faith, I wanted to bring it up then, but it's fine. There's a faith t-shirt, and I know what you're going to say. I hate faith. I'm with you. Well, I don't hate faith, but I'm with you. You can go to hopefortheday.threadless.com. There's a faith t-shirt there for sale, and 100% of the profits go to support mental health awareness. So I'm okay with putting aside my dislike of something to promote that. I actually did order one, believe it or not, Paul. I did. I think it's a good cause, so you should support that. And the last thing I wanted to talk about, finally, Paul, Psylords is coming.
Meh.
Psylords, Paul, the greatest Valiant title of all time, is returning this winter.
I just think somebody else should be writing it.
Well,
I don't understand why they're going the direction they are with the story either. I mean, space, really?
Well, I mean, come on, Paul. It's a Psylord. They're in space.
And also, I hate that artist.
Everyone's like, God damn it. It's not officially announced, but they did have the teaser image. And I'm glad this is finally coming out, because when did we find out about this? Like 2 years ago, right?
Last year, Free Comic Book Day was teased it the first time.
Well, when they publicly teased it. But you and I talked about it when I went to, I think it was NC Comic Con 2 years ago.
Yeah. And we knew about it before Valiant was actually refounded, before they started publishing again. We already knew about it.
Now it's finally coming. I'm really stoked for this, by the way. I like
that's an exciting one.
Yeah.
I mean, I've already said that I'm excited about all the stuff that's lined up. You know, when we did the Valiant Summit one, we basically saw what's lined up basically between now and when Psylords comes out, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. So Psylords being stuck in at the end of the year, I thought that if it was going to come out this year, it was going to be the secret thing coming out during the summer.
Yep.
Although I have an inkling of what that'll be anyways.
Yes.
So I just kind of figured it would probably be early next year that it came out. So getting it snuck into this year's lineup, I think, is just one more thing thrown in there that is, everything that people have been saying they want, really.
I hope they do a new Valiant Vision. I would love it so much, Paul. I would.
We'll see. We'll see what they do.
Or if they had like a variant cover that works with your old Valiant Vision glasses from the 90s, I would buy all of them.
I just read Ninjak 26, by the way.
Yeah.
And I really, really like that arc. And I really, really love Roku.
Roku's my jam.
Yeah. I was thinking 26 was the last before Rapture, but it says that 27 is coming out next month.
Yeah, there's a 27, but it's not by Matt Kent. It's a standalone issue.
That's why I forgot about it. Yeah, that's the standalone issue, and then we get Rapture, and then after that at some point we get Ninja K.
Yeah, I think they did that on purpose. I think they just wanted to beat the VH1 record for Ninjak, because that went 26 issues.
Mm-hmm.
So by going 27, they've got one up. Although Ninjak did have 0 and 00.
Cheating bastard.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I think that sums it up right now. This is a good little shake off the dust. We got the interview with Dinesh coming up next.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah. There was one more thing, Paul.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about it, but I do want to mention it briefly. There's going to be a Valiant Validated Signature Series.
Oh, yeah. That actually I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, coming for Secret Weapons, which is cool. It's signed by is it the artist and the writer, or just the writer?
I think it's both, but it's I don't remember for sure.
It's cool. For anybody that wasn't around back in the day, in the 90s, Valiant had a special initiative where they would sell books signed... by the creators, and it would come with a certificate of authenticity from Valiant. It was the Valiant Validated Signature Series, and they're bringing that back with Secret Weapons, which I think it's cool. You know, it's like
I thought that was awesome.
It seems like a lot like they're trying to appeal to the old guys, which is good.
I mean, that's an easy way for them to add that real, reminiscent feel to things.
Yeah.
With it being something that's totally optional that nobody has to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's pretty awesome.
Yep.
With this one, anybody I hear complain about this one, the way that they've complained about certain other things that were done, the coupons, the Legends of the Geomancer, anybody complains about this, you're just dead to me, because you're just complaining because it just would go back to the, it's not exactly what I want, so I'm going to complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can complain about this is if you're like, I want to collect everything, but I don't want to have to spend money on that. I cannot see any other logical reason to complain about this, so I don't want to hear it.
Agreed. Cool, let's wrap it up. Immediately after this is going to be my chat with Dinesh, so check that out. Let me know what you think. We talked about people complaining on the internet. We talked about Faith. We talked about maybe Psylords. We talked a lot of Shadow Man and other things. So stick around and we'll catch you next week. Paul's at Who's Paul? I'm at Geekvine. We're at Valiant_Central. Facebook.com/groups/Valiant Central is the Facebook group. And don't forget those reviews. As soon as we hit 50, I'm going to start giving crap away. So get on it. See you next week.
So, hey, that beer was good last night.
Yeah, it was, right?
Yeah.
Did you guys have it before, or was that the first time you guys had it?
I had not had it before. I think some of our guys tested it. I didn't get to this year.
You didn't taste it?
Not this year. Not before.
Oh, beforehand. Yeah. Okay.
Whereas the Arnold Ale, I was very picky.
Yeah?
This year, I was just like, make it the same kind of thing. Because the guys always want to do something really dark, like a Newcastle type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not everyone likes that. It's just do something where everyone can be happy.
Yeah.
I like it better than soup.
Yeah? I did like the beer last night. It's good.
It's interesting. Really good.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
It's almost like Blue Moon style.
Yeah.
That's my
everyone likes the beer, don't you? Yeah.
So how's it going here?
Good. Good. Doing well. Actually, it was huge. We had 4 or 5 people come by today and pick up the Red XO1, if you can believe this.
Yep.
And they came by and they're like, cool. So this is the original. We said, well, this is the 2012 connected to this. They go, cool. How much for 113?
No kidding.
Good. We're doing people buy 113.
So I got to ask you about the sales thing.
Yeah.
Because I know. I think Hunter had said it was 60 some thousand plus the 30 from the pre-order button.
No, it was we have not said how many the pre-orders are. So
okay.
there was a number of things that happened, but the diamond count, the numbers that you guys get online,
not accurate.
Backed into,
right?
So that's very inaccurate. And occasionally there is inaccurate 50%, which is what happened with XL. Not often, but occasionally. One of the components of XL that really affected it was the pre-order edition, which was a significant number. And Diamond didn't count that. That's a new thing. And there was a couple of exclusives that didn't count. There's some edition errors, and then we were backed into it for ICV2, backed into it wrong again. So there's a bunch of errors.
So, what I was confused about is, why are they not counting? Because the pre-order bundle had a different diamond code.
Yeah.
So why don't they count it all together?
It's a new program, and they're not used to it. I chat with one of the diamond guys last night, and talked about a bunch of ways that we can get it to count correctly. It's a champagne bottle and a half. It's still,
yeah,
no. 90,000 bottles.
I know. See, that's going. That's a
sell though.
Well, I hope so.
Look at that panel. Talking about numbers on
the side. Yeah, so I was talking about numbers. Well, I can't talk about it to Paul about numbers because Paul hates talking about numbers.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's right. Paul says it. Yeah.
He hates talking about numbers. He hates talking about variants. He hates talking about a lot of
I'm
stuff.
Surprised,
he likes talking about Ninja Turtles. That's about it. So, anyway.
Makes it difficult as a Valiant fan.
It does.
Hate talking about Valiant.
I gotta rein him in, you know?
Yeah.
Might fire him one day. But the difference would have been, though, right? So they reported 60,000.
Yeah.
That puts you at like 12, I think it was, 13, 14, something like that.
Definitely be a top 10 book. Might have been a top 5 book.
Top 5 book.
Yeah.
So does that make a difference to you guys, though?
it's bragging rights, man. It's not.
That's what I thought.
Not a real difference. Nothing that we really spend a lot of time. Everybody else does.
Yeah, right.
Everybody else is market share, placement in the list, and all that kind of stuff. We're just about how good is the comic, how good is the story, how many people are reading it. That's what we care about. And sell-through is really important to us. And we have a number of, there's not really systems in place for sell-through data, there's a lot of systems in place for sell-in data. You get to see these numbers that are ordered in.
Yep.
We built our own system, that's why we have such a large sales team, to figure out how sell-through is going. And as far as we can tell, XO1 is the best sell-through book we've ever had by a large margin. That's important. We tried to do the same thing with Unity, and we were tremendously successful with Unity. A lot of really good stuff came out of that. We made a couple of errors, we were waiting for the right moment to try the solutions that we'd come up with, and we realized we made a couple of errors with Unity.
Not errors, just
problems that we didn't foresee, you know?
Yeah, right.
And even with XO, I'm sure as we dig into it, we'll be like, oh, we can do this better next time, we can do that better next time.
Well, but I think the smart thing, though, is the pre-order bundle, right? Because that guarantees you that sale on duration 4.
Yeah.
Or 3.
That's something we've been working on for about 2.5 years.
Really?
Yeah, we stole it. It's completely stolen from the video game world.
Oh, wow.
In the video game world, you go in and you put $5 down for Grand Theft Auto number 7.
Right.
And they give you a poster. And when the game comes out, you get a code that lets you have a special car or whatever. And you get the game. And so we've been foolishly trying to figure out a way to do like one of the pull-offs previews. We print one up, send to stores, people buy that for $3.99, and it's a preview. They come back the day of release, and that preview is like a pre-order for...
Right, yeah.
So what we would have done is the 8-page would be an extra for the thing you get first, and then you get the other thing for the actual book. Diamond were like, oh, wait, just making me sense. You know how difficult that is? So we tweaked it, and finally came up with the pre-order edition.
That's smart.
Just kind of a combo of the pull box cover and the plus edition.
Well, I think it's better than the pull box cover, though, right? Because for the pull box cover, you have to have those people already maybe getting the book.
Yeah.
Right? Where, I mean, you might get some extra sales off of it if people want the extra the cover. But with the pre-order bundle, you can pretty much get anybody. I mean, I've got a guy, my buddy Nick, I do another podcast with. He quit reading 3 books.
Oh, yeah?
But he bought the EXO bundle. Because I told him about it.
Awesome, thanks.
But he bought the X-Men, it was a good deal, you know? And then you're guaranteed. So a lot of people don't want to read past a certain number. And you guys see that in the sales, right? So a lot of people trade weight. Maybe it doesn't reflect as well in the trade sales.
Yeah.
But that to be able to order pretty much a trade.
Yeah, and you have, did.
Right, exactly. I think it's pretty smart. So whoever the idea that was.
Video games. We stole some video games.
I'm sure it wasn't Adam's idea.
We stole it. It wasn't Adam's idea. But that's also the great thing about Valiant. It doesn't have to be Adam's idea for it to be Adam's idea. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Adam wasn't the one that said, hey, we should do this. But Adam was instrumental in making it work. I mean, he worked his ass off.
I just like the rag on Adam.
I love the rag on Adam, too.
We're talking about you. Good things. Thumbs up.
As he stands there,
look at him.
Lifting. Stands there, balancing a bundle of pre-order edition Rex Metal on his head and walking around in the crowd.
Are you guys having the same success with the Secret Weapons pre-order?
We haven't seen the numbers yet. And we're in that period now. Like right now is the period where we'll be hunt heavy marketing Secret Weapons as we get up to the initial orders, the deadline for initial orders. So we're going to try and push it. We'll see what happens. Help me out.
We got you.
I know.
And that works better too, because that's a 4-inch mini, right?
Yes.
So that's pretty much the same thing. Exactly. You get the whole thing.
And Eric Heiser's the writer that worked with us on, he wrote Harbin from Bunch on Movies for the two prime drafts. Hopefully we can get a couple of little tidbits in there.
I think that'd be good.
Yeah.
What was it? Who was writing Black Panther? Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Yes.
That book sold gangbusters because he was doing it, and he never did comics.
Yeah, it didn't kind of thing, though, because he is a massive, massive name in book publishing.
Yeah, right.
In other words, screenwriter, 90% of their work is never seen by the world, and it's rare for a screenwriter to get to a place where they're brand name.
Right.
Eric is well on the way, though. I mean, Oscar nomination, The Arrival, a bunch of good stuff coming up with him.
Did you like that movie?
Arrival? Loved it.
I couldn't stop talking about it.
Yeah, you're a fan of it?
Yeah, it was my favorite movie last year.
So smart.
I read it as soon as it came out, and I was like, man.
Go online, man. Get a copy of his script. It's up there.
Really?
It's fantastic. It's as as good, if not better. There's a couple of scenes that didn't make it to the film, but the writing is just phenomenal.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. You guys talked about Faith in the Future Force.
Yeah.
I might ask Jody about it. I don't know yet. I might be a little mad at her right now.
Why? What happened?
Oh, no, nothing.
You can't just say that.
Yeah, I'm just saying. No, it's fine. It's good. It's good. We're good. What was the... Do you know what the inspiration for that was? I mean, I'll ask her.
The inspiration for Faith in the Future Force?
Yeah, because that seems... It's odd compared to what we've seen, right? And then you guys like try new ideas, so which is what I like.
We love trying new ideas. No, there was a lot of inspiration for it. You know, we all love Neela. Wanted to do kind of an event level thing with Faith. Jody had this great idea to incorporate time travel. We took inspiration from Unity. And also, look, Faith is, for me personally, what I'm most excited about Faith Future Force is Faith is this phenomenal character, this amazing character that so many people have found and fall in love with. Mm-hmm. And there are certain Valiant fans that are reticent to jump in. They feel like she doesn't represent what they love about Valiant.
Right.
And they couldn't be further, that couldn't be further from the truth. So I'm excited about this book because you're going to get to see 4001 and present day and cast some other timelines come together for the first time, which is a can't-miss event for Valiant.
Right, yeah.
And we're going to sneak in a love for Faith through that. They're going to have to come to this book, and they're going to find they do actually love Faith.
Well, we were talking privately this past week about it. Because, I mean, you know, we've talked about my, not dislike, but maybe unlike of Faith. Is that
unlike? Yes, I guess.
I mean, she's fine, but, like, it's not something that I thoroughly enjoy, right? But with the Future Force, I mean, that makes more sense to me, especially with Neela. I mean, I'm a time travel fool, right? So,
yeah.
It's fine.
It's just for you, Mark.
Yeah, don't lie to me.
I'm just excited to see Neela back.
Yeah, I think that's a cool thing. That's
a cool thing. Yeah, Neela's great.
Does that mean that Ivar's just kind of disappeared?
You saw the end of Ivar in a fashion. You saw the end of Ivar and the Ivar Time Walker, and then you saw a little tease that he may still be around. And of course, he was in the Mortal Brothers.
Right.
You know, if you believe that to be a true event or not, you have to decide how much of Armstrong's influence is affecting Archer now.
Yeah. That's cool. Since you were talking about Archer.
Yeah.
Escape from Gulag.
Yeah, Elliot Rahul.
That was fantastic.
Pretty good book, right?
I mean, I like Rafer. I like what Rafer did with Aene. I know some people don't. That's fine. But that book was like, it was almost like going back and reading Archer and Armstrong like 30 years ago. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
You know what's happened? You know, you're mentioning Rafer. You know what's happened? Is when we first launched, we had a lot of people saying you can't put anyone but Jim Shooter or Harbinger, and you can't put anyone but Baron Smith on Armstrong. And there's also nostalgia for the 90s, right? And I remember when the first issue came out, second issue, and the third issue of Archer Armstrong. If you go back to the boards and look at those old published issue discussions, it's just hate, pure hate. Do you remember this? McClane Henry. Pure hate. This guy can't draw. It's terrible. Barry Smith would be so upset if he saw this. There's no background. And now all I get is more Clayton Henry, more Clayton Henry. Give me more Clayton. He's Clayton Henry represents Valiant to me.
Right.
He's the de facto Valiant artist. It's hilarious. Now we're getting 2012 was so successful, I guess, that we have nostalgia for 2012. Where I talk to Valiant fans, especially the ones that weren't there in the 90s, the ones we made in 2012 and 2013, etc. And they're like, man, I just can't see Harbinger written by anyone but Dicer,
yeah.
Anyone but Fred Valenti writing Archer Armstrong, and anyone but, you know, and it's on and on and on. Anyone but Rob writing XO.
Right.
I was just like, oh, yeah? I can't wait for 4 years. You come back to me and say, I can't see anyone but Ray writing Alien. I can't wait for anyone but Matt to write XO. I can't wait. I mean, just wait till you see what's coming in Harbinger. Harbinger has been, he's laughing at Harbinger. Josh, Moore, and I, everyone else bought that book. At the end of that run, we smashed every single thing to pieces. We separated the team, Faith and Torque are separated, outed Harada, destroyed the Harbinger Foundation, put Harada in Africa, like every single thing we could do to destroy the mythology of that book we did. And what an ending. Amazing. Mission accomplished, right? Okay, let's do the next chapter of Harbinger. And we looked at it and we're like, oh God, what have we done? How do we put this thing back together again? And look, none of us have done love those like, four issues the team coming together stories. Riven did a fantastic job, though. Issue one of Harbinger Renegades, one of my favorite Harbinger issues ever. And you guys had to be patient and wait as the team is coming together because, in order to be true to the characters, we had to give them the time to form again because of what they've been through. And also, because there's no Harbinger Foundation, there's no Quran, there's no mythology, we had to build that up. We had access to all that through Solomon and through these other components, and I don't want to spoil too much for you yet, but you've already seen them.
I don't have to ask your permission to give away my comics, all right?
No, go for it. Amazing fan.
I know, I love
it. Giving away their books. That's awesome.
He used to do it at a comic shop all the time.
I know. Yeah, sure. And now that we've laid that groundwork in the first form, it's not just going to be like a right hook of five. Yeah, it's going to be three right hooks in a row. I mean, you wait. You guys have no idea what's going on in five. And then six or seven. We left turn. That guy with the crazy face, the alpha, you got to see the origin of him. We're going to go into crusade time, castles, knights. You're not going to know why we're there. Seven is right back to the present day. And you can see the aftermath of the massacre. And I think at seven, you guys are going to start to realize what we've been doing the whole time. Where you'll be starting to see the pieces from one, two, three, four, five, and seven start to come together. And realize, oh, they announced Harbinger Wars 2 way back before Harbinger Renegade 1. Because this is all building to Harbinger Wars 2. And I know you guys are thinking Harbinger Wars 2 will do a big thing. It'll be single Harbinger Wars. No, man. Harbinger Wars 2 is not a sequel, it's not just big. If Harbinger Wars 1 is a battle, Harbinger Wars 2 is World War 2. It is, like, literally insane. I said in the panel yesterday, it's the first time I've been, like, even a little bit nervous about a book, about, like, the size of it, the scope of it. You know, usually everyone else is like, we're really going to, in the company, everyone's like, we're really going to do that? We're going to go that big? We got this, we got this, don't worry. And that's my job, I'll see you. Whether I believe it or not, I got to be like, we got this, come on.
Right.
Here, I'm like, oh, God. We've got to get this one. It's going to be because it's too awesome. And it's too big. And so, but we're working out really far ahead. Make sure we get it.
Cool. What else did I have? Oh, yeah. I got to ask you about Psylords.
Psylords.
Secret weapons,
can you,
too.
Can you confirm?
Yes.
Psylords.
Psylords. You hate Psylords, then.
It's the worst book. I hate
it's,
it.
It's like the thing you keep saying.
I never read it. I don't own multiple 3D Value Vision glasses.
Yeah. Confirm what?
I don't know. Can you tell me it's coming out?
Dude, it's so good.
In the next year? How about that? That's good. In the next year.
I will tell you that you've already seen the Silo.
Well, we talked about that. Yeah. I care about that.
It's a book we're working on. It's a book that I'm very excited about. It is coming. We've already teased it for Comic Day. We may or may not tease it a little bit more this for Comic Day. When it comes, though, it's going to be we're going to go big with it.
You got anything else you want to share?
That's it. That's all you
thoughts. That's it, dude.
You can ask anything right now. This is what you came up with.
I don't do that.
Anything, but if you could, what would you ask? If you did do that,
I mean, I asked you about Psylords. I want to know about that. I mean, I would love to ask you about Shadow Man, but obviously you can't talk about that yet, right?
You can talk about whatever you want, man. For you.
Yeah, it's like my Shadow Man.
Sure.
I mean, for me, yeah, but you know, this is all the record, so that's different.
It's okay. You can ask. No harm in asking.
All right.
Ask him all, man.
You
want to know about Shadow Man?
I did.
All right. So, Shadow Man, I think you guys feel, the fans feel, we feel like Shadow Man's a good book. We didn't hit it out of the park. We have not told the best Shadow Man story ever yet. And I feel like every other character, the best story has come from us. Okay? So we're all adamant that we want to tell the best Shadow Man story. Here's one of the things that we realized. And it's informing the new Shadow Man tremendously. You know that logo, that Shadow Man logo?
Yep.
Him in the doorway, the shadow?
Yep.
Right? We've been so focused on the guy in the doorway. That was a mistake. We've been so focused on the shadow. That was a mistake. We should have been focused on the doorway.
Ooh, see, I like that.
That's an attractive
I like that. Yeah, see, that's good.
Because Shadow Man's a hard character, man. There's been over 120 issues of Shadow Man, right? Well over 100. Like, I don't know exactly how many. What are his powers? Let me ask you guys. Martin, what's Shadow Man's powers?
He can fight with his big stick.
Anything else? What are his powers, man?
He's got a low eye in him.
Okay, that's the source of his powers. But what powers does the lower grant him?
I mean, regeneration, enhanced speed, agility.
Regeneration? Yeah. Are you sure?
Sure.
When have we seen that?
We haven't, but that's my assumption.
Enhanced speed and agility? When have we seen that? Can he run faster than a human being?
I'm sure he does. He's a superhero.
120 issues.
But we don't know, right?
We've never seen.
Sure.
I'll tell you, I don't know what his powers are. Not definitively. He was the most malformed of all the characters that we inherited. And he's an amazing character. But there was so much work. And this is the sad thing about it. Was your land. It switched over a parade of heads a couple of times. But in such crucial periods where the characters are formed and not formed and formed, not formed. And then also I realized Paul Paul's having to listen to this and then like be like, here are his powers.
Right? Sure. Oh, no, he doesn't read books.
Yeah.
Paul hates comics.
No, Paul Paul.
Paul Paul
is going to be like, I wrote and drew 34 issues of that book. And you tell me that powers? I love Paul. So I think Paul is the best challenge.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
That's the bar. That's what we have to do better than or equal to. That's a tall, tall order.
Yeah. That was a good run.
That's a point of view, man. It's
oh, he's got the power to play the sax. I forgot about that. I saw the sax guy yesterday. Yeah, he was awesome.
Saxophone wielding Catamite Hustler. Yeah. He was here at the booth for like an hour.
I know, sax. Yeah. We were hanging out listening to him play until he started repeating the song.
So what else? What other hard-hitting, insightful questions do you have?
Is Dr. Eclipse Cup ever coming back?
Oh, I don't want to know about that.
I do.
Do you? Okay, fine.
Dr. Eclipse is a solar derivative. It's great. It's a gray area. Don't want to touch it. Not worth it.
Okay.
Besides, it's with Casimir now. Casimir is that archetype.
Right?
Exactly.
So, any Donkey Kong type story, if you want to tell, great. We got Casimir. Let's tell him.
Okay.
And you ask, we will.
I hope so. I'm excited for Eternity. That looks.
Eternity's going to be great.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's a whole universe of building.
Yeah.
It's nutty.
It's cosmic,
yeah.
too.
So I was watching the Summit video.
Thanks for watching.
And those sketches that you guys put out on that thing?
The Eternity sketches?
The character sketches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For Eternity?
It's pretty badass.
Yeah, that's mad. Mobius in his mind, and Jack Kirby in his mind.
That's exactly what I was saying. We were watching it, and I was like, Matt would love some New Gods, man. Like, that is some Kirby shit.
Matt loves Kirby.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, Matt loves Kirby.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
And Kari Evans. Those two from Kari Evans. No.
And I'm glad he's back. He hasn't done much in a while.
Yeah, he goes and does a lot of video game work.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it's about whatever he's, you know, feeling the desire to do comics.
So how... I don't know how much you guys can talk about Eternity, because I know Matt was pretty secretive at the Summit.
But like, about Eternity.
Sure. So how much is that impacting this Valiant universe? Or is that... Do we not even need to worry about that? Just concentrate you as new.
Let me tell you this, okay? This is how much we try and focus on continuity and the logic that underpins Valiant. There is a connection between the far away, dead side, eternity, life side, all these things. There is a scientific underpinning that has a lot to do with quantum physics, string theory, which is the same point of view that Jim Shooter, Bob Lane, and those guys brought to the original Valiant. We're bringing it again. And over time, this is something we've talked about since day one. Warren and I and the guys have all talked about this. And we've been slowly seeding it. You can see it even in what Justin was writing, especially in Shadow Man, issue two, the opening. It's largely talking about the first pieces of that. So it's all connected. It'll make sense. It's much larger than you can imagine.
Right.
And we just slowly put the pieces on the table. Eternity is connected to the Valiant universe. But it isn't the Valiant. It is a wholly separate universe, a pocket dimension, which is a real physics theory.
Sure, right.
And we get to see a whole universe there. And what's fun about it is it's a different tone. Like, our tone is all science fiction. When Warren first came on board, one of the questions he asked me a lot, we talked about this a lot, was Galactus. Because I'd be like, no, we're a science fiction universe. This is how everything's going to be, it makes sense to science, grounded, real, all the stuff there is about protecting that. And Warren's like, okay, well, how do we do Galactus? He says, we can't do Galactus. No, we can't do Galactus. So we have to do Galactus through the lens of science fiction, through the lens of Valiant. Well, we've done Galactus. Our Galactus is Ginger, this giant, awesome character. And this character is a native inhabitant of a distant planet in which this is the biological evolution that's happening there. So we're able to do it that way. Now we have Eternity, which has a different tone, a little bit more fantastical, a little bit more New Gods tone. That allows to do a bunch of other stuff. Again, through the lens of science fiction. It's us doing New Gods, it's us doing Janowski through that lens. So it all will fit this line of text. And I'm excited to expand it. And it also allows us to send people from Valiant to us over to Eternity and vice versa. This is where our core back comes from. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is where our ego, the living planet, comes from. These archetypal things that Valiant didn't get to build yet. We're lucky enough to be able to put these pieces on the map.
Well, now you guys are actually getting to a point where you can build your own properties without having to concentrate on anything of the old stuff, right?
Past that. Here's where we are. Here's what I'm so excited about. We launched Universe. Build the core of the universe. Okay, great. Now we launch the rest of the key characters. Now we launch the secondary characters. Now we expand the mythology, so we're doing things that X-Men has never done, Armor Hunters, things that Bloodshot's never done, Armor Brothers, etc. Right? Then we start our own characters, Divinity, Ted, Savage. But right now, we're still doing all those other things. But right now, is and Harbinger Wars 2 will be the you guys will see it most clearly here. It's Harbinger Wars 2. We're not still putting things on the map. Even the new X-Men or Elite Realized, right? That's still putting mythology on the map. It's we've done this 56 issue run. We showed the origin, him on Earth, the man out of time. But we haven't shown Cosmic. We haven't laid the groundwork for Cosmic. Now we can do that. And you know, in a number of years, when we do another X-Men or book, it maybe will tackle a different point of view on the character, right? What Harbinger Wars 2, for instance, will do is it will give us those defining moments. We're no longer held back. We're no longer responsibility to build mythology because so much is being built. We can do sequences with these characters that you're like, oh man, I love Daredevil. I love that moment when he did this. I love Spider-Man when he did that. I love Batman when he took down the Justice League. He had the Babel files, Tower of Babel, that moment. So we're able to do that now. We're able to make people not just understand who these characters are and love them, but just what I'm looking for. But be emotionally impacted by it. So that's what I'm excited about.
I mean, the key really, and I think a lot of people are getting to the point where they're maybe looking less to the past and trying to concentrate on now, what you guys are doing now.
I think that's
important, right? Like, it's taken a while to get to that point because people were expecting a certain thing. And I mean, now you guys can pretty much do whatever the hell you want. You know, you got some great, some of the original characters are some of the best ones you guys have now, like Grogu, the Divinity characters, all those.
The new ones? So what are your favorites? The ones that weren't back there?
Grogu's my personal favorite. Grogu's amazing. Grogu's amazing.
Divinity's awesome,
man. Divinity's awesome. Like, Neela's good. I think Neela has a lot more potential than Ivar did.
It was built that way. There's still a lot more of the... We played with her too. To get us more emotionally invested in it.
Right. Well, and I've always kind of tropey, right? Because it's kind of like Doctor Who. And I mean, I love Doctor Who, but like.
It was unmatched with the original man. I love Doctor Who, and they built Ivar.
Right.
And then so we leaned into that for the Ivar Time Rocker, and then came out of that with a whole new separate thing that exists unlike anything else in that time. In total. Time Rocker.
So one of the things that I noticed was. You guys seem to really be getting down to basics.
We like doing that.
So now there's what, like 6 books being put out?
Yeah.
Totally good with that, right? Because you're doing the 6 best books you can do.
Yeah.
And Faith, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
And Faith. But, and you're slowly going to start bringing some new stuff in, right? So you relaunched X Man of War. You guys talked about Shadow.
I'm going to do Faith Year. 6 Faith titles, 12 issues each.
I mean, if it's Faith in the Future Force, I'm good with that.
Faith, Martin. Martin loves Faith. Faith and Martin.
That's fine.
The right part, man. Yeah.
Yeah, just put me in there as a... I don't know about that. Yeah, don't do that.
Okay, but back to basics.
Anyway, back to basics.
Back to basics, yeah.
Because for a while, it's, I don't know if it's like maybe a towards the end of the year thing. The first time that I saw it was maybe a couple years ago, before Bloodshot Reborn and all that stuff launched. There was like that drag where there was just a lot of short minis coming out or like one shots coming out.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people that were a little concerned.
Yeah.
Well, why aren't they putting out the ongoings or like doing something big? And you see what I'm saying?
No, I know. But here's what it is: the internet is built for the sky is falling.
Oh no!
And Valiant fans, myself included, are very skittish groups because we love Valiant and then it went away, and then it came back, and then it went away, and now it's come back, and Valiant walked out on us twice already. You know, we're abused. We're in an abusive relationship with Valiant,
true.
And so we're definitely afraid it's gonna walk away from us again. I live in the same fear literally every day. That's why I work so hard. But you have to understand, if we're not going to break the core tenets of the storytelling we've set up, i.e., characters don't appear in more places than once, we're not going to do multiple books at the same time. We're not going to ignore continuity. We're not going to make characters out of character. We're not going to do those things.
Yeah.
We have to have these ebb and flows where when large ongoings, the background of the universe, comes to a close, there's going to be a transition period. We have to turn the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we were coming out of everything that was last year's The Future Valiant, transitioning into Icons this year, there had to be a transition period. As we were building up, as the books, as we were getting the characters in the right place, that's the key thing too. If Faith is going to do Faith in Future Force, then the Faith Mini, the Faith Ongoing, has to turn a certain direction to set that right. X-Men War has to wind down in the right way, right? Which is why they did an amazing job of, so that we can have this launch. Otherwise, all we're doing is servicing the new people, not servicing the people that are here from day one. And so, I those comments are ironic to me because I see them and they're like, why are they doing this? Because we're doing this for you guys.
Right.
But I get it. I would feel the same way. So hopefully we can help spread that message so the next time people are like, I know what they're doing. I see this. They turn the ship. Somebody big's coming. They
well, right but so, but the point of that, the back to basic thing is, what I see now, like, what you guys have announced for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
It finally makes sense to me that it's somewhere in between pleasing old fans and pleasing new fans.
Yeah.
Right? Because it seems like it's been more of an ebb and flow where, like, here's these books that really please people that have been reading for whatever 25 years.
Yeah.
Here's these books that are great for new readers.
Yeah.
Right. But at some point, you gotta have you said it. You're gonna have internet bullshit everywhere you go. Right. There's always gonna be somebody that's unhappy.
That's what the internet is uniquely qualified to do, and it's a good thing. It helps. We read that stuff. Sometimes it's great comments, and we take those comments to heart, and we make the books better.
But you are at a point, I think, where you can probably please both of those demographics.
Yeah, and I think all the books do. They certainly what you're seeing is the marketing of it. So we've announced Faith the Future Force in a very old school, valiant, happy way. But as we continue the marketing journey, as we build on the marketing campaign, you'll start to see it attract non-valiant fans as well.
Right.
And so all the books, and that's where we're down to 6 or 7 books. It's not, by the way, a specific number. We got up to about 14, I think, last year at our height, and almost killed all of us.
Right, I'm sure, yeah.
But it also meant we had to make choices, let things go, not market things the way we wanted to, not be able to control the story and the art, etc. And I don't think we let anything go out the door that wasn't good. I think we managed to keep everything great, but it was going to happen if we kept it fast speed.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to, and we don't need to.
You don't need to. Yeah.
Like, why? For market share? Who cares about market share? For diamond charts? Who gives a shit about diamond charts? This ego stuff, man. Not for us. We're here to make great stories. So when you ask the question, what makes the best stories? Well, the answer is the publishing plan that we have now. This allows us to spend it. All the amount of time that you need to make every single component of everything we do amazing. And XO is the first shot of that. If you take a look at XO, I think the trade dress is great, I think the logo is great, I think the art team is great, I think the story is great, I think the point of view is great, I think it's new reader friendly, I think it's old reader friendly. I think it's Mark Hemme was strong, the sales campaign is strong, it's the highest selling independent book, sell through story that we've ever had. Again, over and over and over, all these things, just check off. We want to do that for every book we do.
I'm definitely seeing a lot more buzz on XO than pretty much anything that you guys have put out so far.
Yeah, it's our biggest book so far.
People that have never read Valiant are reading it because of this book now.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah, awesome.
You know?
Awesome.
That's what I'm saying. You got to have some heavy medium.
But also, there's a lot going on in the background. We're now at a point where the movie stuff is really coming to fruition.
Sure.
TV, video games, animation, Valiant Digital. And all those things, we want to make sure they're at a certain level of quality, too.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to make sure that the Valiant brand has quality in every way, in every media form. To do that, we can't publish 14 books, keep them strong, make sure the movie's good, make sure the TV show's going to be strong, bring the right people on board the animation, make Valiant Digital great. It's just, I wish we could, but I just can't go out and hire 2 more great editors. There we are. We don't want to take a second best. Can't go out and bring another great marketing person, another great salesperson. They're hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
So we take our time, we train people up. You've seen so many people get trained up here at Valiant. Hunter, perhaps the best marketing person in the business now. Josh, I mean, just killing it. Fred has a whole division to himself now, Valiant Vision. Me, I trained up at Valiant. And that takes time. We got Danny coming up, we got Charlotte coming up, we got Robert Myers coming up, we got a bunch of people that we're training up because the level of quality we're trying to hit. Nobody else is trying to hit this level.
Right.
Silver and iron.
Well, and I think a lot of times people forget you guys are like Marvel, who, you know, is owned by Disney. They can put out 130 books, double ship on their books, and it doesn't matter because, you know.
We're not competing with Marvel and DC. We're competing with Time Warner, which is worth $75 billion in market cap, and Disney, which is worth $50 billion in market cap. That's who our competitors are.
Right.
We're not even like David X Live. We're like the boil on the end standing next to David when he fights Goliath. That's who we are.
Yeah, that's good. I don't have anything else.
Cool.
Nope. Okay.
Thanks. As always.
Appreciate it. You guys were awesome.
I'll see you at the panel.
Yep. See you at the panel. Thank you.